Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Now, Vladimir Putin said yesterday that Moscow using the gas pipeline as an energy weapon, that claim is, quote, nonsense. But all eyes are on the gas link now through Ukraine after Russia's move to shut down Nord Stream gas flows, which has left just this one a major pipeline linking Russia to Europe. This, of course, ahead of EU energy ministers meeting this Friday to hash out plans to deal with the dire situation, which may include a proposal to put a price cap on Russian gas. Joining us now to discuss is Caspian Konvan, energy and markets economist at Beringer Partners. Caspian, welcome to the programme. Thank you so much for being with us. Now, part of the supply via Ukraine has already been knocked out. What are the risks in your view of it actually being cut off entirely by Putin?
Huge risk. And I think there is an irony, as you said in your opener, that actually one of the reasons that gas first started being curtailed is because Russia didn't want to pay the transit fees to Ukraine and ultimately fund the state government who they just declared war on. But we now are in this bizarre situation where the Ukraine transit route, whilst it's down by about 50% on last year, is now the largest source of pipeline gas into Europe. As you suggest, that exposes that route, not just to the physical risk of war, which has always been a risk throughout this engagement, but clearly Putin's shown that he is intending now to use his political discretion effectively to force Gazprom to turn off that gas in order to meet his political and potentially military objectives.
When we look at what EU ministers are discussing, we had the draft plan from the Commission published yesterday, a levy on fossil fuel producers. They are considering also the proposal to cap prices of Russian gas imports. What do you feel is being the most likely steps taken here, and what sort of impact could that have on markets?
I think the cap on Russian gas imports is an interesting one, because that relationship between Russia and Europe is one of codependence. There's a monopoly supplier, but also there's a monopsony consumer. And the consumer has been having the running really since the end of last year. The consumer now wants to effectively bargain and collectivize together to agree a set price. They're hoping to regain the initiative and stop this market bargaining of escalating prices, about 1,000% up on the regional benchmark of gas relative to 2019, that pre-COVID average. Now, Putin's clearly responded saying that would be market manipulation, and if you do that, we're just not going to send any gas at all. So that's an interesting brinkmanship to see who's going to come out of that negotiation more successfully. The Europeans hope that actually there's nowhere for the Russian gas to go. They can't pipe any more to China or India or Turkey. They're flaring huge amounts of gas from their fields. Is that really sustainable in the long term, especially with the fiscal position that the Russian state is under? There's the big questions.
Yes.
On the other side... Go on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say one of the other issues, I mean, it's the EU is looking at intervention and European governments are intervening both on the sort of household and business front, but also in the market. So the issue of margin calls, how severe do you think that is? You know, the warning about it being a Lehman moment and the intervention now that Europe is looking at in terms of energy suppliers and businesses, how effective is that?
We think it's huge. Our estimates under some of the price curves that we've produced for winter means that marginal collateral for utilities, as you suggest, in order to keep your positions hedged, could rise by about €1 trillion euro on 2019. So this is an absolutely huge potential risk. The governments and the Commission is doing absolutely the right thing to provide emergency liquidity to those utilities in order to ensure they can continue to hedge those positions and access markets. But it's a systemic risk for European energy markets, for sure.
One of the other elements in the EU plan is this idea of setting demand reduction targets. This is something we heard from Emmanuel Macron in France already about the idea of asking households to use less energy. We're hearing reports in the papers this morning about a public information campaign being discussed here in the UK as well. What sort of impact could that have on demand?
The problem is now we're going into the winter months. Demand, power and gas and heat demand tends to be rather inflexible for obvious reasons. You know, this is actually turns from where we can import more gas than we use. And we've been doing that very successfully. Storage levels are up to 80%. And now we move into the months generally where we consume a lot more gas than we could ever hope to import. And that's been the case regardless of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Voluntary demand reductions, maybe we could reduce demand by 5% here or there. But until we start really grappling with the major force reduction, three-day weeks of industrial demand, closures of national transport networks, etc., which is clearly not voluntary, we're not really going to move the dial, in our view, on major demand reduction.
Europe has wanted to lead the way in terms of climate action. This is clearly an enormous threat to that. Where are we in terms of Europe sticking to its energy and climate change commitments?
I think it's an interesting one. I take your point that in the short term, clearly coal is back, both in Germany but in the Balkans. And you could say that that is a renegade on the climate commitments. But actually, when you look at the bigger picture towards 2030, I sense there's an accelerated transition in the European Union. Energy security in Europe, because of our lack of available fossil fuel options domestically, actually means a more aggressive renewable transition. Now, that comes clearly with challenges because the technologies around intermittency and storage aren't yet there. We don't exactly know how we reconcile with that. Maybe the option is hydrogen ultimately. But in the medium to long term, I'd suggest this is actually pro-cyclical for a more aggressive energy transition in Europe. Clearly not the case for the Asia Pacific and other markets where these prices of gas are incentivizing greater use of coal and could well embed coal for much longer in those markets.
There's been lots of discussion around the role of nuclear in the future energy mix now. Certainly lots of countries reconsidering their position on it. Does that change, in your view, what place nuclear will have in the European energy mix going forward?
That's a great question, and it's really a political question. The technology is tied and tested, but it clearly, as you know, as the pointed question suggests, that is really down to the politics of member states. And for whatever reason, it strikes me that it's unlikely that Germany's position is going to move on nuclear particularly fast, if at all. So I wouldn't necessarily hold your breath on that. But those countries which have a history of nuclear power, such as the UK and France, I would assume that they've been validated by that part of the mix, potentially underfunded in some member states, but certainly the French position right now, you would envy, surely.
Just in terms of where the energy price cap might be for Europe, what sort of numbers are we looking at? You know, how much of a reduction or a cap do you think that the EU can impose on Russia? I mean, obviously, depends then on whether, you know, Putin takes action on that. But where do you think Europe might place its price cap on Russian power?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. Ultimately, there's suggestion maybe we could come back to some kind of moving average on a base year for a winter over the last decade. Maybe that is 400-500% up rather than 1,000% up. We don't know. That's more ambiguous. What they have been clearer on is the windfall tax on non-gas generators. So currently power prices in Europe and in the UK are around 400 to 500 megawatts. In 2019, for this part of the year, that would be about 50. So a huge rise, as we know, in power markets. They're suggesting tabling proposals to put a windfall tax so that no non-gas generator could earn above 200 megawatts, so about half the current market rate. That would substantially raise revenue to ultimately provide that fiscal cash effectively for the subsidies for homes and businesses. That we know is actually a quite different proposal from what some other states have proposed, which is around direct subsidies being funded by government loans. So this use of a windfall tax from the Commission is quite a new development and one that ultimately member states are due to consider, as you say, on Friday.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.